All right, if you'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 51 this morning. Let me check my time. I've got Kim's, looks like a TV up here. That's her phone. You can tell how I fall in the rank of everything. Mine fits in my pocket. Hers is it bring the spaceship down, I believe. So I've got it set and ready. But if you'll turn to Isaiah 51, we'll look at a couple of verses there, and Lord willing. I made a few notes, and while you're turning, speaking of notes, Luis the other day, he come in, and, you know, sometimes he has a late ball game or practice or something, or go somewhere, and Kim keeps that big phone over there next to her, and if that thing, you know, vibrates, it'll vibrate the whole bed, you know, it'll shake off the nightstand. And I say, don't turn that ringer on, you'll get me and the neighbors up. But I say that the other night, he come in, didn't want to wake anybody up. He wanted to write a little note about something he was going to do and go get something to eat or something. So he didn't want to use that, so he wrote a note. Kim said, now look, you don't write notes and then leave. I don't care if it is, just run down here and get a sandwich or whatever it is or whatever he's wanting to do, especially if mom and dad's in the bed. Said, you know, you're almost 18, but you're not got there yet, and you still live at home. You know, she went through the. But anyway, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you this to get to Maggie. Well, Maggie heard all that about the note writing. So now Maggie's thing is, she'll write a note. I want to watch TV. Slide it over to you. I need something to eat. She'll slide it over to you. So what she picked up on is, oh, that must be the thing to do. Just write a note. So anyway, she's into note writing. And that's right. And so, but anyway, I say that. That's just being a kid both ways. Luis is growing up, but still a young man, I'd say, or he's in that transition. And Maggie's growing up. She's still, well, I'd say she's still a little girl, but she picks up on every little thing. And that's what I happened to tell the older ones, is that you got to watch what you say and do because she's watching you. But anyway, that's aside, because I got me back to the phone and notes. Okay, this morning, as I say a lot of times, I give you a glimpse into my life, I guess, more so than I ever see of you all. Because a lot of topics that come to my mind, or that things that trouble me sometimes, or that bother me, or give me trouble over the years, or come back and rear its head again, and I study. And sometimes as I study that, it seems like the Lord lays that on my heart to share that, or maybe it might be a help to somebody else, and it helps me to look through it again, and I guess read the Scripture and what the Lord says about it. So I hear it two or three times. Not only as I'm trying to read and study myself, but also as I try to share it with you. And this morning, what we're going to look at, and I don't know if any of you have ever been this way or not, but fear can slow a man or woman down as far as their work in the Lord, or it can hinder us, I guess. Fear can be a hindrance, which sometimes it's hard to overcome. And I don't mean just the fear of a roller coaster ride. I'm trying to think of something that we'd think of growing up that we were being as kids or even adults. Or I know some people don't like to. If you ever had one of those MRIs, are real close on you. There's a fear of claustrophobia or being something really close. And so there's just different fears. And I know about my mother-in-law. She won't hardly fly, or won't fly. And you know she's wanted to ask them before, you know, if they'll just let her go up to the airport and sit on a plane for a while. And Kim said, well, prior to, 2001, they may have, but she said they won't do that now. I think she just wanted to get on there and sit around, you know, a couple of hours. Well, I think I can handle this. So then go and buy her ticket and get back on, you know. And I say that because and we laugh about that. She does, too. There's some fears that just we think would be easy to overcome, and some are fearful about some things and not others. That's my example. Kim and her dad, they'll get right on a plane and never think anything about it. I'll get on one and fly, but I'll think about it the whole time. Mr. Grizzle, he'll actually fly them. And so there's a difference. So you'll see where I'm going this morning. Sometimes we are influenced, before we get started, in our lives by fears that really don't amount to much, but it's things that are close. And let me give you an example. Think about the moon and the sun. Really, the sun's the one that's in charge. If you think about it, I'm talking about as far as when I mean in charge, I mean S-U-N, sun. It provides us our light. It gives us things to grow. You know, preacher said the other night, pastor did, if it had been moved just a little bit too close, we'd have burned up. Too far away, we'd freeze to death. But we saw it come up this morning. Our earth revolves, and of course that provides life. That's why I'm trying to get to with the sun. But then there's the moon. And we tend to, it throws more concern, or I guess, on our life. And you say, well, why is that? Well, the moon controls the tides, the ocean. When's tide coming in, when's tide coming out? The moon controls a lot of, a lot of old fables and wives' tales with the moon. You know, there's a cloud around the moon, so it's going to rain. In other words, we seem to be more concerned about the moon sometimes. And you'll see where I'm going with this. It's because it's closer. We can see it. We can see the effects of it. So my question is, why do we let some things, which we'll get to in a minute when we study, and this is what I ask myself a lot, why do we let things bother us just because they're close? When we have a God in heaven, which, yeah, is a little further away, but controls all things. And I struggle with that sometimes. I'll let something get me down or drag me down. I'll think, yeah, but overall, God's in control. Even though we spend more time, and I'll go back to my sun and moon, especially if you ever go to the beach or ocean, you read that tide, and talk about the phases of the moon. We even plant, sometimes people do, by those phases. But yet there's never made mention of the sun, and without the sun, nothing would ever grow. But we spend more. And so I wonder if it's because it's in our face, so to speak. And so some of the examples I jotted down as I was thinking, things I worry about, and one of them in here we'll get to in a little bit, is worry about the world and its effect on the church. We talk about that a lot. But is that just because it's in our face all the time, always on television, always in the newspaper? But really, should we let that worry us? Because there's a God and there's a heaven that's even greater. And just because it's a little further away doesn't mean it shouldn't be the, I guess, predominance in our life. So let me read to you this morning, and you'll see when we get these two verses how we come about. This is over in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 and verses 13. And we're going to look at things that may be out of proportion in our life that maybe affect our fears. And said, verse number 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. In other words, that's talking about us. That's what got me looking at that. And not saying I'm fearful every day, but we have fears come upon us. And it says it has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. In other words, you've forgotten who I am, is what God's saying, is what the Lord's saying. You've forgotten what I've done. Just remember those things. Let's continue to read. And it says every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? And what I get from that just initially is when the Lord compares what he's done to even the worst fury of the oppressor or something that would trouble us, there's no comparison. God's still in charge. He knows the question before that too. He said, as if he were ready to destroy. Well, if you're saved and you're born again, you won't be destroyed. This body may go. But so think about it. Back to the example again, we do all that in accordance to, you think about how the moon plays into our daily lives, what we look at in our plant and our sow and our tides and ships go out and come in. But yet the sun, further away, is really who's in charge, so to speak. And when we think about nothing would grow, etc. So think about that. Put that on a, we let so many little things in our lives bother us or trouble us. And we'll get to some examples here in a second. You guys can probably think of some more. We'll let all these little things maybe bother us or take away because we think God's so far away. Let's get back. So keep that in your mind. I know I've said that before, but I want you to keep that in your thoughts. So I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And as you see, that's the son of man. It's a small s, a small m. So that's definitely just talking about man, mankind in general. If you look at these, as I look at this, and I... And, you know, my parents told me this, so And again, they passed away when I was younger, especially my dad. And I mentioned that a lot, I know, but just the influence he had on my life just for early years, I still remember all that. And I thank the Lord that comes back to my remembrance a lot. And I remember things he used to say. He'd say, most fear is groundless. There's no reason to be afraid. I remember him used to say, I'd have to go out into the barn or something at night and be dark. And I said, where's the flashlight? And he said, well, you don't need that. There's nothing out there that'll hurt you. Of course, as soon as I'd get outside the door, you know, you'd hear those crickets. You'd think, uh-oh. They gonna get me. But as I went back and forth over the time, you know, you'd think snake might be out in the yard. You know, all that stuff comes to your mind. See, and that's another point. We let our mind do more damage. It's like my family on my mother's side. They boxed a lot. They do all that shadow boxing and that and their dad was actually a pretty good. Got golden gloves, I think, is what they used to do. So they did that a lot. And they talk about blows or getting hit, and there's some blows you can take. And I wonder if our mind is not responsible for most of the blows we take as Christians. They're really groundless. There's nothing there. It's like my dad would tell me to go outside in the dark. There's nothing there that can hurt you. And again, my mind would think there might be a snake out here listening to those crickets. Why are they chirping? There's a dog in the background. What if there's a skunk out here? You know what I mean? Those things, but it was all groundless. I never ran across, over all the years, I never ran across anything that would trouble me. Now, my brother might hide behind the bush and jump out, but that was something different. But I think about that as they used to talk about, and they'd practice, and they'd box all the time, and they talk about different blows. You'd get blows to the body, blows to the head, and those were physical blows. But I wonder if what we think of and try to, affect us now in our lives aren't mental. But most of them are groundless. Let's look at a few here. I've jotted a few things down. And we forgettest the Lord, thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens. And so as I jotted these down and look, I think about, and we do this, I know, as parents and grandparents. And a lot of times I know, I say with this class and with this group, we've lived long enough to experience some things that maybe younger people in the church have not. And it's just from let's just say it, it's just age. We've lived it. We've seen it. We know. If not, we've seen somebody else. We've learned from that. There are rivers in life that you have to cross. Do we still spend time thinking about those? And the reason why I'm thinking, what if this happens? What if that happens? And again, that's those blows. That's where we're beating ourselves up in our mind. A lot of fear sometimes about this or that. In other words, you think about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and the Egyptians were chasing them and Moses getting ready to part the waters. Did any of them say, well, how are we going to get across this? Are we going to die? Are we going to swim? Or are we going to float? What's going to happen? In other words, was there a lot of fear and anxiety? Just human nature. But God took care of it. Parted the waters. They walked across on dry land, which I would say probably never crossed. I don't know for sure any of them's mind. They probably, do we have time to make rafts or boats? How much time did they spend worrying about how are we going to get across rather than knowing God would deliver them? And I'm wondering if that's why sometimes our fears are groundless. Should we worry about crossing those rivers? You remember my mother, she used to have a saying, and it's not in Scripture, but all of you, I'm sure, heard it. What is that? You'll cross that, no, see, don't cross that bridge until you come to it. And, you know, again, that's not Scripture. You won't find that in there. But I've heard that all my life, and she used to say that because I'd worry about this or that. And, like even going to school, I'd apply for some programs and didn't know if you were going to get in or not. And she'd say, she'd shake her head and do her hand. She'd say, don't cross that bridge until you come to it. In other words, what she was telling me, don't worry about if you're going to have to swim it, float it, walk it. Doesn't matter. Turn around and go back. It's just groundless. So I'm wondering if a lot of the fears we have each and every day are not groundless. So it's a few things, and I didn't even jot that down. I just happened to that come back to my mind thinking about that. So let's look at a few other things here. It said, fear of man, which is one thing that's listed here and brought out predominantly in the Scriptures, and I'd made a note of that to write down the fear of man, and we think of the oppressor. And I thought, okay, what would we think of someone that'd be oppressing to us, and visitation came to my mind yesterday. And I said, our oppression or some of our fears may be we go to knock on somebody's door. maybe a relative we try to be a witness to, but maybe they're very harsh to us when we try to do that. And all we want to do is, like yesterday, I know John and I went to a house. He'd seen the man before. He wasn't home. We came back out. There was people across the road, and turned out that fellow's uncle, two uncles or something, were pastors and preachers, and just had a good conversation with them and got to invite a couple other, talked to a couple other young men, invite them to church. One of them said, "Oh, I go to church here," and he said, "That's fine," and just talked to them and thanked them for their time and moved on. But that doesn't always occur, so you wonder if some of our fears we have, and I'm just trying to think, aren't we from other people or from relatives, someone it's difficult to speak with or talk to, or what if it's just even somebody that's we think of an oppressor as very hard-hearted, so to speak, unfeeling. I'm trying to think of some other adjectives to describe them. Strong. Maybe have you ever been around anybody even at work? Maybe they're the supervisor, and you say, "Well, don't cross them. They'll fire you at a drop of a hat," or "Stay out of their way." You know, so someone that's what I think of when I think of an oppressor. Do we have anybody like that in our lives, or not anybody per se, but anything in our lives that keeps us away from God for that great of a fear? I used to work with she's retired now, but I used to work with a nurse, and she worked up to see chief nursing officer. And I might have told you all that story before. We always got along fine and really just kind of never really crossed paths other than occasionally she'd have to let somebody go. And I'd kind of kid her about it, and I'd say, "Well, you know, you're going to have to go out and recruit some more." She said, "Well, I got to let somebody go every 7 or 8 months, let them know I still can." And part of that was her management style. But she also had that little bit of the oppressor mentality. She wanted them to do a good job, and most nurses would come in and say, "Well, you better do a good job, she'll get rid of you." But we as Christians don't need to have that approach. We don't need to let anything keep us down like that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do a good job. But what I mean is we shouldn't allow that to affect our Christian lives. And sometimes we do. It ties our minds up. We get caught up into that. And you think about it, as I was talking about my family, they used to box some, those blows over and over and over. And I remember their dad used to tell them, he'd say, work the body, because continually with those blows you get on the body, he said, eventually your opponent will get where they can't breathe. Then they'll let their guard down. And I wonder if we let these little things just continually affect us and take our focus off God. I got a few other things jotted down. I mentioned work and an employer, and I mentioned what type of person to work for, or even a relative, or even when we're out on visitation, do we let those things trouble us? Do we get up and just concerned about meeting somebody face-to-face? And then one I jotted down that I'd gotten from actually just earlier in the week, somebody that might be intimidating manner to others. And what I wrote down, and I don't know if it really even fits, I wrote liberal views. And I not mean us, Christians, the church, not talking about that in general, but I'm talking about just what I've noticed, and I guess where I was going with that was the people with liberal views concern us. Do we not talk to them or witness to them as we should? Or do we hold back or maybe not do something that we normally would around people with liberal views? Let me continue. What I've noticed, and it's just me, you guys may not see it, usually what I've found, people with liberal views tend to be the ones quickest to persecute. That's what I've noticed. They've, to me, been the ones quickest and to hurt somebody's feelings or not be inclusive. Even though they may call themselves liberal, it's only liberal if you're liberal. You see, if you follow me, I'm trying to, might be some cold shoulder treatment, might be some harsh words spoken, because maybe you do believe in a God. Maybe you do believe in Jesus Christ died for all mankind. Maybe you do think that homosexuality is a sin. I'm just bringing some out. So they would consider that a more conservative view, not a liberal view. So you may get more harsh words, maybe more persecution. I've noticed, and I mentioned this to Kim earlier in the week, that young lady that was a young teenager that was killed up in Virginia, and they caught those two students out of Virginia Tech. Just it still just blows my mind, just beyond comprehension. But I'd noticed when they'd written an article about both those, and I'd mentioned this to John yesterday, and he said, yeah, the thing is, he said, the world can't separate the two. But if you'll go back and you'll read that, they made a point, I thought, of bringing out, yeah, he went to a small Christian school. Yeah, he was educated there. Yeah, went to Bible camp, went to study. And told everything she'd done and made sure to point out, worked in a summer Bible camp teaching young people. And I thought, well, what the world can't see, and well, they'll look at that and say, well, look at here, Christians, Bible camp, boy, they killed that girl. And see, are those things we let worry us? Yeah, that's what they try to do. But that's and again, that's why I say that, do we let the liberal view affect the way we act or the way we talk? And I'm talking about myself. That's why I wrote that down. Because now, and because you got to remember, you work at a university or a college today. Most people have those views. So do I let that? Well, I'll just stay quiet. I won't say much because if I do, I'll get the cold shoulder. I might have some harsh words. Might affect my job. Let me just be quiet. Is that a fear? Oppressor? See, oppressor's not always a person. But that's why I go back. Is it things in our mind that continually gives us blows to our body to eventually we're just not effective? And I worry about that. Let me give you a few more things here. Let me check my time because I've got a few. Yeah, we've got a little bit of time left. So those are, and I jotted those down under fear of man. Things that may trouble us. And again, I guess I show you more of my life than I'll ever know about yours. But those are things that sometimes I think, Lord, this shouldn't be bothering me. Why do I have this fear? Why is it there? Let's continue on. What about, and I mentioned this earlier, what about in the church? And we'll go pick it up here because the fear of man really affects us individually. But as a church as a whole, do we fear the government coming in? Do we fear the new Bibles? Do we fear, and I jotted something, do we fear preachers who are not preaching the truth? And what I mean by fear, do we fear that's going to take over and we're no longer going to be here? That there'll be more religions, but not true gospel, fundamental believing, preaching, churches, etc. Do we think those can disappear? And so as I jotted that down, I also thought, and I put up here in the margin, I wrote sideways, I put no. The Word of God will stand forever. It'll always be here. So, and I know we do talk about that. Oh, did you see that on the news? Yes. And before you know it, they'll start looking at the churches closer. And before you know it, they'll start managing what you preach. And you know what? I believe a lot of those things may come to pass here if the Lord doesn't return. But should we fear those? And that's what I think he's saying here. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker. We forget who we serve. And we let those things trouble us or trouble the church. In other words, go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. It's what the Lord's saying. Keep trucking. You know, my dad drove a big semi, a big 18-wheeler, and he'd have that, had that keep trucking, you know. He even had a belt, had his name on the back, you know. Me and my brother had one, too. You know, that was real popular to do that back in the 70s. And I remember that and riding with him. We had that little keep trucking logo, you know. And I think about that a lot. And that's what I think God's telling us there is keep trucking. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Yeah, I'm in control. I'm in charge. If somebody mentioned, I think Wednesday night, said the Lord put in who he wants as far as the leader of our country. And said, that's right. He will. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't go out and vote and pray about it and vote who the Lord lays on your heart, but he will. That doesn't mean, well, I'll set aside. I'll set over at home. The Lord put in who he wants. That's like Brother Mitchell said that time about going to the doctor. Well, I'll just stay here and pray. And he did say, he said, yeah, you need to pray first. But he said, you know, the Lord might have gave the doctor the cure for whatever's ailing you. So you need to go on down there. And so you lay that on your heart. So I think about that the same way as the way we approach these national problems. We still need to pray for the nation and pray for what's going on, not stick our head in the sand. But do we need to let the troubles of the church drag us down? And what I mean by troubles, things that may be troubling, do we need to let that affect how we work inside the church, and church as a whole? So just a few more things here. And there's some, and I wrote down, and I've never heard this here. I hear it some of the other Baptist doctrines, fear of losing salvation. There's some that's troubled about that, especially as they get older, and said, well, am I truly saved, or did I lose my salvation? Maybe not in church the way I should. I know I was saved. I know when that was. And I jotted that down. Like I said, I haven't met anybody or even talked in several years, but I do know there's some that think you can lose your salvation and may be truly saved. So there's a fear that we sometimes hinder us. They worry about that so much during the day that maybe that keeps them from doing what God would have them to do. Fear of poverty. I wrote a few things down here. Fear of death. Reading after one man as I was studying that, saying, yeah, if a fiery chariot pulled outside in your front yard and you had to get off the front porch and get in it, he said, I think I'd rather go back and lay down in the bed and die in my sleep. He said, because I'd probably have a heart attack seeing a fiery chariot sitting in the front yard. But he said, there's some that fear death so much. And I remember all of us have probably given that thought, because Preacher Jack one time preached a message on death. And he said, one fear we have, and it might have been Darius. No, I think it was Preacher Jack who preached one time. He said, we have a fear of it because we've never experienced it. And I remember his comment was this, too. No one's ever come back to tell us about it either. So that's a fear of man. It's the unknown. We don't know what it's going to be. But if you're saved, you do have a promise of where you're going to come out. And that's true. And so, yeah, that natural fear may be there just because it's unknown. I remember, you guys probably remember, and I'm trying to never bring sports or anything into it, but a comment this guy made. Walter Payton was a running back for Chicago Bears, and I don't know if he was saved or lost. I know he died at a young age and died quickly. I mean, he got diagnosed with a type of cancer, I think, and died relatively quick. But I remember they was asking him on an interview, and he said, well, what do you think about? What are you doing? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I ran the ball a lot. I knew what to expect. He was a running back, he said, from the other side and the defense. And I played a lot against those players. And he said, I knew which way they'd have a tendency to go. And he said, some of them I could just bulldoze over. You know, he'd kind of laugh about it. You know, this was when he was dying. And he got straight-faced, and he said, but I've never died before. So he said, I don't know what to expect. It's the unknown. And so I wonder if some of us sometimes we let death trouble us more than what we should, especially sometimes as we get older, where we worry about our families. I know, and I've told you this before, I'm the world's worst when I'm going for a test or an exam or something. That stuff gets in your mind. And you know what? Maybe it only troubles or bothers me for a day. Maybe I worry about the church, when I'm talking about the church as a whole in the world, and something happened to me, and, oh, you know, Lord, what's going to happen to us, rather than remembering the Lord we serve. And that may trouble me a day, and it gets off my mind. But see, that's another day the devil's got you off the things of God. You think about that. That's one more day. See, his goal is not to say, well, let's get you or me or let's get you tied up for a year. His goal is just one day at a time. Well, if I can get him or her another day. Just their mind messed up another day. Same way with someone that's lost and in the church and the pastor gives out the invitation. The devil doesn't say, well, you know what, I need to really keep them out of here for 10 years. And that might be his goal, because he knows God, the Holy Spirit's working in their heart. But if you think about it, even when you were lost and the Lord was dealing with you, it wasn't, well, you can come back tonight. Just come back tonight. See, his goal is just get you out the door at noontime one more time. His goal is just get you outside one more time in the evening service. His goal is not, I mean, again, it is eventually, but the way he works, it's like, well, it's a short period of time. You can come back tonight and hear that preaching again. Well, you they meet every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and you can come back. Go back and think about it. Make sure you're right. Are you sure you're right about this? Even though the heart's pounding in their chest. And so I think about that. Sometimes we'll get tied up in trouble and cares of this life sometimes, burdened down, so to speak, and just take us out a day, then another day. And we forget, as I go back and read, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. But yet, and as I read this, and has feared continually every day. Talking about us, men and women. Do we continue to fear? If you look here, Isaiah's talking to Israel that's in captivity. He said, yeah, you're in captivity, but why do you fear every day? Where is their oppressor? And if you look at the other question here, he said, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it at? In other words, there's some things, or if not most things, again, go back to, they're groundless. Why do we worry about them? I got a couple more things written down. Fear of death, I mentioned. Fear of poverty, fear of losing salvation. On pure fear of poverty, I'd made a note, and I'd put, feeds billions of creatures. Every year, you think about, I didn't know the number. That was just my thought come to my mind, is why do we worry about that when God takes care of so many? So many. And as I go through, I made a note and tried to jot it down if I can find it. I tried to mark it because I knew it'd save us time, but it really stuck out in my mind. And as I read this, think of this, and see if I can find it. It's over in 1 Kings. And this applies to everything we've talked about. We're almost done. This applies to everything we talk about. And I tell you this because you say, well, Brian must not worry. Oh, no, ask him. She'll tell you. I battle a lot of these things here, especially, like I said, what's going to happen to the church. You know, talking about, you know, we watch the news. Oh, it seems like they're coming after us. Or fear of man. Well, it's, you know, do we say anything? Well, what if you offend somebody? You know, all those things come to your mind. And you've got to be bold. Let me tell you this. Let me read this. The reason why I tell you all that is the means, as I find this, if I remember this right, the means may change, but the God of means stays the same. That's right. Let me read you this, and you'll see where I'm going with that. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and flesh and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. This is Elijah. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And that came to mind when I thought about the means may change, but the God of means stays the same. Never changes. And I think that's what Isaiah was trying to tell Israel. And I think that as I studied, that's what God laid on my heart trying to tell me. Say, look, the means may change. What the church direction, not as far as the gospel, but I mean things in the church we may be working on or doing or missionaries or whatever it may be, may change. But the God of how the church gets that done or how you in your life individually accomplishes what God wants you to do, it may change. And that's why I'd written down, I said, God feeds billions of creatures, and I mean everything, birds and fowls, and of course that's fowls, but animals, and he's provided for them and for us and clothing and et cetera. So the means that's provided may change, but God does not. And I got one other thing here I'd written down, and I'll just leave you with this, and it kind of fits right in. It was over in Romans, and we're finished. I'll let you go with that. Kind of sums it up, Paul does for us, if I can find it. I said that and said I had it marked, and I'd read it. It goes into, and it talks about when he's talking about neither death nor life. Oh, here it is. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Okay, here we go. For I am persuaded. And of course, that persuaded means I know. I know. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, you think about it, salvation is a love story. That's what it is. And if he loved us so much to send his son down on the cross for us, then yet how do we forget who he is and who our Savior is? And so hopefully that take that with you and hopefully chew on it. If not, and none of that affects any of you, pray for me because I battle these things sometimes. And forget us the Lord thy Maker that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations. That's all I've got this morning. Thank you for your attention. Pray for the service. And good to see everybody again and fellowship with each other. We got a little bit of time.